You're listening to ListCast. If you'd like to reach us, you can email us at listcast5@gmail.com, or you can alternatively reach us at our website, post comments, or give suggestions for top five lists at listcast.podomatic.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to ListCast. This is episode number 3. Our topic for today is top 5 character actors. I'm Josh.
And I'm Justin.
And Justin's going first today with his number 5.
Okay. First of all, like most of my lists, other than my number 1, these really aren't in any particular order. And
This one was a little harder
to put together just because
it's how do you define a character
actor? And just due to their nature, you tend to forget about them.
Yeah, you might not know their name.
We know their names, but you just don't think of it on the fly.
So we had
to kind of go looking. So these are the ones that I came across.
Didn't have a whole lot of prep time on this one.
Okay, so my number 5 is William Sadler.
Fucking asshole. God damn it.
Well, I got it first.
Shit.
William Sadler, he's
I don't know how I'm going to do my list. You take my fucking choices.
Done a lot of things. He, for me, one of the more notable ones was he was Death in
Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
He had a recurring role on Deep Space Nine. Gosh, he's in so many things. He was the bad guy in Die Hard 2. He really has quite a bit of range. He plays good guys, bad guys, but he is the definition of character actor. He is that guy. He does not play one type of guy, nor is he the lead where he is just the guy. He is that character. And he does it very well. I like his delivery. I like his style. I just like everything about the guy.
He also played the villain, the underrated film called Freaked.
Yeah, I knew you were going there. There you go. The man can do comedy. He was in The Shawshank Redemption. These are all different characters.
See, that's just something I just didn't think, because it's hard to remember these things.
Exactly. You know? Well, when you start talking about it, you start realizing, wow, this guy's been everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, true definition of as a character actor. Okay, what's your 5?
Okay, well,
since your number 1?
I didn't really number these in any kind of order. I know you have a definitive number 1.
I picked one.
I don't, but since you just did someone who's connected to Deep Space Nine, I'll do somebody who's connected to Deep Space Nine.
All right.
Now, William Sadler was also on my list.
Okay,
there we go. So my number 5 will be Jeffrey Combs.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Combs, who I most know from Deep Space Nine, does make some film appearances. Now, he was in a movie called The Frighteners, criminally underrated film.
Oh yeah,
starring Michael J. Fox. Jeffrey Combs plays this crazy detective, undercover detective type guy. He's just a loony. Yeah. You know, he has some great lines.
But he is known to the horror community. He was Reanimator. I want to say he is.
Really?
Yeah. I think that's what it's called. But he is the guy that has played the lead in this series of horror movies, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. So I do believe he's known within that community.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know that, but I mostly know Jeffrey Combs from Deep Space Nine. Now,
where he played 3 different characters.
He played Wayoon. He played
Brunt.
Brunt and
Another guy. It was kind of a one shot.
Yeah, it was kind of
just some guy that had a beef with Quark.
Yeah, but he was also on Enterprise as
Shran.
As Shran, as an Andorian. Now, in all these, he's wearing makeup. Oh, he was. What's this? I already said Wayoon, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah. But so he's always wearing makeup.
But not so heavily that you don't recognize him.
Except
for Brunt.
He is the character actor of Star Trek because he immerses himself in these roles.
Yeah. Shran is nothing like Wayoon, and Wayoon is nothing like Brunt.
But this guy has what you and I like to call the X Factor. There's just something about this dude where he's just relatable, even when he's a bad guy, you know? There's something about him you just like, you know? I don't quite know how to describe
it. On an actor level, the guy really can do everything.
Yeah.
Brunt is a sniveling, weenie of a Ferengi, and he does it perfectly.
And Wei Yun is cold and calculating.
Is an administrator, you know?
And he had that great episode in Deep Space Nine where he played Wei Yun's opposite, where he was another one of Wei Yun's clones that was good.
Yeah.
And he had to play the exact opposite of the real Wei Yun, and you then, buy it instantly.
And then as Shran, he is a hardcore general, and you believe that too. And the guy's just phenomenal. And none of those characters are anything like the guy he plays in Frighteners, which is a insane whack job.
Yeah.
But he is absolutely believable in every one of them. And that X factor, you know, maybe part of that is the fact that he's not your typical, say, good-looking guy or whatever. He's just a great actor, and you just admire what he does. Good choice. Good choice, man. I like that. All right, my number four is, I'll bet money he's on your list, Will Patton.
No.
Okay. Will Patton tends to, unfortunately, I think, get stuck in the bad guy role a lot of the time.
I don't know who this is.
What?
Who is this?
He's the bad, General Bethlehem in The Postman.
Oh, man, that's a good choice.
Yeah.
He was also in Copycat that came up in one of our previous episodes.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
And then he is, you don't realize it until the end, but he's the bad guy.
You spelled tyranny wrong. Sorry.
Yeah. He's the bad guy in No Way Out. He usually he has a tendency in his early career to play kind of like the slimy, smarmy guy. As he's gotten older and his face has kind of taken on a more serious look, as opposed to, this is going to come off as insulting, but it's not meant to be. When he was in No Way Out, that was done in the 80s, he had a thinner, almost, not an insult, kind of a gay look to him. So that's why he fit into that kind of smarmy look thing. As he's gotten older, his hair thinned out, lost some of it. Thicked up a little bit. He tends to play more of the severe bad guy, kind of the guy that will kick your ass, kind of a bad guy. Again, he was the bad guy in The Postman, highly underrated movie.
Anyway,
I've been watching Numbers lately, and he's been a recurring character on that as a good cop, very hardcore, tough guy cop, but a good guy. Mm-hmm. But I like him. I just like the guy. He's got a. It's just
he does
like
have
William Sadler. He's got a quality that I just like. You know? Anyway, that's my number four.
Okay, my number four. I'm going to have to go with an actor named Elias Koteas.
Oh, good choice.
I wasn't... Like, these aren't in any particular order, but I think this guy doesn't get any credit. I think this guy is a great fucking actor.
Yeah, I agree. Good choice.
Now, he isn't... That is a name.
Well, let's name some of them. He's in...
Some Kind of Wonderful.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Where he plays Casey Jones.
Casey Jones.
This is a guy you will not recognize the name of, but if you see his face, you're like, oh, that dude.
He was the main guy in The Prophecy.
The Prophecy. He was in... what's that movie called? Fallen?
Okay.
Almost an Angel.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
This guy is just he's
a
been
lot
around.
Of range. A lot
a
of
lot
range.
Of range.
And he's paid his dues.
Yeah, he was in Simone. Just a lot of different things.
Acting steadily for many years.
Yeah.
And
he's not hard up for work. I mean
I hope not. He's
great. Been acting for a long time, but he's never been an A-list actor, but he's just got this X factor that draws you to him. He's just a great actor.
He could and he did was the lead in The Prophecy and did it fantastically well. Unfortunately, although I do think he's a good looking guy, I don't think he's, you know, model good looking guy.
No, he doesn't have the typical Hollywood
Unfortunately, that's probably what's kept him from being that A-list actor, because he definitely has the chops and is a veteran, just been around in the greatest way.
Yeah.
But good call. Good call. Wow.
Yeah.
I wish I thought of that. All right.
Is this number three for you?
Yeah, my number three. This one, probably a little more obvious. William H. Macy.
I contemplated. I thought that was a little too...
Yeah, you know.
He's kind of risen.
He's kind of one of those, that has almost ascended a leading beyond. Yeah, almost to a leading man. But he certainly had his leading roles. But the ones that he's done where he's the leading roles almost... are hidden gems themselves. So,
okay.
But he tends to play the good guy, you know, the straight-laced Boy Scout, you know, but in the best of way. You know, I remember him in Air Force One. You know, he was the guy that lasted. You know, he does not look like any sort of action hero by any means, but he was one of the few that survived with the president till the end and was willing to stick behind.
It's
and
hard you're for like, me yes. to justify him as a character actor now.
Only because recently he's kind of defied that. But at the time of Air Force One, he was a character actor. Even to the point of when he did Pleasantville. I don't think he had quite busted out yet. He was...
Yeah, no, I mean, don't get me wrong. He's been in a lot of films that I like. But most of the movies that I'm thinking of, I wouldn't call him... You know, he's kind of the lead, you know? Like, he was in this great movie, underrated, called Panic, where he plays a hitman. But he's the lead in the movie.
But you know what? But here's what I think defines him as a character actor.
Okay.
He is playing the character. He is not William Shatner. Yeah. Where William Shatner is William Shatner in everything.
William Shatner is a movie star, not a
exactly. He's the difference between a movie star and an actor. He is an actor, and he genuinely plays these characters.
Yeah, I'll give you that. But
and when I'm watching him in Panic, which I saw,
you
turned me onto again.
Yeah.
I don't for a second think of him as the dad in Pleasantville.
No.
And when I watch Pleasantville, I don't think of him as the guy in Air Force One, you know, or vice versa. I totally get absorbed in whatever he's doing, which is, I think, what makes him a character actor.
Yeah.
You know, Sally Field, as an example, is someone who does great characters, but she's still Sally Field. She's not, and I don't mean that in the William Shatner kind of way, where Shatner is Shatner. That's it. That's what he's got. He is Shatner. Sally Field, however, is kind of on a different level, where even though she's the mom in Steel Magnolias, or she's Norma Ray, or whatever, it's still Sally Field. If there's just something Sally Field about.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You know what I'm saying? But William H. Macy, I don't get that. You know, I feel like he's these guys, and I think that's what makes him great.
Was that your three?
That's my number three.
Okay. I'm going to have to go with Giovanni Ribisi.
Oh, okay.
Now, this guy, I mean, he's got a weird name, so that's probably what makes him stand out, if anything. But I hope he never becomes an A-list actor, because... I treasure him on that. The fact that a lot of people don't know who he is, but probably would recognize him.
Well, I'm sure they recognize him, yeah.
I think the first exposure I ever had to him was he played one of Kevin's friends on The Wonder Years.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sure.
He was in this underrated Richard Linklater film called Suburbia.
Well, I've seen it.
Where he's kind of a lead, but it's an ensemble picture.
Yeah.
Kind of another one. I should have mentioned that as a hidden gem in one of our past episodes, but... what else has he been in? He was in The Other Sister.
Sure.
Where he plays a mentally handicapped guy opposite
Juliette
Lewis. He had a small role in Boiler Room.
He was also a recurring character on the TV show Friends.
I didn't even know. Yeah. See, I mean, that's the kind of work.
Funny as shit.
That's the kind of work this guy can do. You know, he can go from doing serious roles, like in Boiler Room or Suburbia, to
I Love Your
sitcoms
Work.
Or I Love Your Work. You know, which is something nobody's ever heard of.
Yeah.
Which is actually the name of a movie. We're not saying I Love Your Work, Giovanni Ribisi. That is the name of a movie he's been in.
You should see him in Friends, man. He's really funny.
Is he?
He plays Phoebe's like half brother, and he's funny.
But great underrated actor. He has been in some very well known.
He was
movies.
In Saving Private Ryan. I mean, huge big.
Yeah, he was the medic in Saving Private Ryan. See, there you go. You know, he's just
a lot of range,
and got that quality. You know?
And he's recognizable, but he's not pigeonholed.
No, and I never and like thing. You said, I never look at him. And I see Giovanni. I see the character he's playing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm. Definitely, I agree with you on that one.
All right, so number two for you?
All right, number two for me, Christopher Lloyd.
I don't know.
Are you kidding me? He is the he is the poster boy of actor.
But he's Christopher Lloyd.
He's not.
It's hard for me because, like with Macy and then with Lloyd here, you got two actors who are very well known.
But just because they're well known does not mean they're not character actors.
Yeah, Christopher Lloyd. To me, to be a character actor, you kind of have to be.
Christopher Lloyd does not play Christopher Lloyd, nor does he play the same character all the time. The guy from Taxi was. That was a great role, and he did that fantastically. He went from Taxi
to
doing Star Trek III. Hello, two totally polar opposite roles, but he was absolutely convincing as the bad guy in Star Trek III. Star Trek III to Back to the Friggin' Future playing Doc Brown. I mean, my God, this guy is. Who was he in Clue? What was his character?
Professor Plum.
Come on. None of these characters are alike. And not once when you're watching them do you think, oh, it's just the guy. He's just playing the same thing from Taxi or what. No. He absolutely becomes these characters. I think he's phenomenal.
And yeah, way I guess you're right. Yeah.
Way underrated.
No, I agree with you. He is underrated because he kind of got pigeonholed from Back to the Future.
Yeah, or from Taxi, or from depending Taxi. On your generation.
But mostly people will these days we'll look at him and say, oh, Doc
Cuckoo's
Brown.
Cuckoo's Nest. I mean, the guy is
he was
a professional actor.
No, he is very underrated. I will agree with you.
Way underrated.
That. Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Way underrated. He can do comedy, drama, and do them both excellently.
Yeah. Good choice.
All right, so we're on to year two.
I guess I'll go with Wallace Shawn.
All right.
Who is another alumni of Deep Space Nine, sure. Where he played a Ferengi called Shek, who is the
what
Grand Nate Shek.
It's not Shek.
Shek.
Zek. His grand name is Zek.
I meant Zek, sorry. She calls him Sheki.
She calls him Zeki.
Whatever. He plays Grand Nate Zek on Deep Space Nine. He plays a Ferengi very well. Very, very well. He, most notably, what you probably recognize him from is The Princess Bride.
Sure.
You know, Inconceivable. That's Wallace Shawn.
He was.
I don't know what else to say about this guy.
He was just, also in. There's a movie he did. I believe it was a stage play, and then they just shot it. I think it was called My Dinner with Harry or something like that.
Yeah, I think
it was two guys sitting at a table, at a dinner table, talking. That's all it was. But I caught most of it, and it was engaging. But, this is a guy I don't think qualifies as a character actor, because he kind of plays Wallace Shawn in everything. You know, his voice is so distinguished that he can't blend in.
Yeah, you know? I don't think that's...
No. I remember reading an article where Armin Shimerman, who plays Quark on DS9, was talking about Wallace Shawn being on DS9 and how they were all very excited because he was Wallace Shawn, you know, the guy from Princess Bride and all that. And he has been around. He's paid his dues over the years. You know, this is a, you know, actor still. But Wallace Shawn was saying, you know, I really enjoy doing this Zek character because I get to put on a different voice and do and Shimerman in this article kind of just laughed inside because the man has an insane voice. It's a high-pitched squealy voice, and to himself in his ear he thought he was doing Zek as a totally different character, but really it was Wallace Shawn on cocaine, you know. And so by that rationale, I don't know if he qualifies as a character actor. He's not a movie star like Shatner, where he plays Shatner and everything, but I don't think he's as chameleon like as some of these other people, because he's,
well,
so
this list was kind of hastily put together,
distinguished.
So I guess I'd have to agree with you on that, but
right,
okay. My number two, go ahead, what's your number one?
All right, my number one, William Atherton.
Yeah, okay.
This poor guy, thanks to Ghostbusters and other movies of the like,
real genius, Biodome,
and Biodome is forever
Die Hard,
and Die Hard is forever the guy that you love to hate. He always plays the asshole business guy, reporter, or something. The guy you just want to slug because he's so smarmy and backstabbing and all of this. But he does it very well. There's something about his appearance, the way he carries himself, the sound of his voice. He's a good actor because the character that he plays in Ghostbusters is not the character he plays in Die Hard. But you want to slug both of them equally.
Yeah, yeah.
And but you love to hate him. And I remember, I want to say it was an article. I don't think it was an audio interview or something like that. An article I read where they were talking. Someone was talking to him. And he said...
he's got like those... I'm sorry. He's got those annoying names in Die Hard and in Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters is called Walter Peck. And in Die Hard, his name is Dick.
So, they do that on purpose, the poor devil. I know. And someone had passed him on the street and said, "Man, I love you in your movies. I just want to punch you," and things like that. And, you know, they mean it with affection, but he was actually kind of pissed off. He gets mad because these are characters to him. This is not who he is as a person, according to this interview. And it kind of pissed him off because he's an actor and he's been so typecast as this role that he can't do anything else. But he is delightfully fun to watch in these kinds of movies because you just fucking hate him. You hate him.
You do love to hate this guy.
And he does it so beautifully well. When he shows up, you know exactly who he's supposed to be. And you don't have to know any of his other movies to know that. You just have to see his face. And something about him says, this is the villain who's going to get payback by the end of the movie.
Going to get his comeuppance.
Yeah, exactly. That's the word I was looking for. But anyway, William Atherton, that's my number one, the guy you love to hate.
Okay, my number one, I just came up with just now. I didn't originally write him down. Sam Rockwell.
I knew it. Oh, you're so fucking predictable. I know your style, dude. I know your tone. I know what you're drawn to.
What am I drawn to?
You are drawn to these actors and these types of movies, and Rockwell loves to do those types of movies that are just off the beaten path.
Where he's the odd man.
Where he's the odd man out. And you are so sucked in by those movies. And he is a natural, and he is fantastic at those
movies. I'm glad I get to put him in at number one, even though, like I said, this isn't in any particular order. But Sam Rockwell, he has risen lately. His name has gotten a little bit more well-known. But he was in Galaxy Quest, where he played Guy.
An almost retarded...
Yeah. That was probably one of the first things
I think that was the first thing
introduced him to as. But he was in Confessions of a Dangerous Mind. Mm-hmm. Excellent movie. He was really good in that. You know, he had to play a lot of emotion in that. He was in... lately, he was in Moon.
Sure.
Which I know you liked more than me. Although I didn't like the movie as much as you did, I think he did a brilliant job acting with himself.
Yeah, you may not like the movie, but you can certainly.
But he was that movie. It was all Sam Rockwell. There was nobody else in there.
Yeah.
But his name isn't well enough known yet. Where you mentioned
he was the bad guy in Charlie's Angels.
There you go.
And you see him go from Guy the Rock Ingersoll in
Galaxy Quest
to the bad guy in Charlie's Angels. That alone gives you an idea of his.
He was in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, where he played the president of the galaxy. You know?
This guy has
range. Can do comedy, he can do drama.
You look at the kind of comedy he did in Galaxy Quest.
Yeah.
Look at the kind of comedy he did in, you just said it. Hitchhikers. Two totally different styles of comedy.
Yeah.
And then, even though I don't care for the movie, Charlie's Angels... Here's a guy who in this movie is a cool guy, you know? This is a cool cat, this is a cool customer, this is a guy who knows how to talk to women, who can handle men, blah, blah, blah. This character is not Guy the Rock Ingersoll, what I'm saying?
No, he was also in Matchstick Men.
Yeah.
He played against Nick Cage.
And then the character in Moon is nothing like, he is a chameleon.
Oh,
and,
yeah, definitely.
And you really don't know who this man is in reality. Because you get no sense of what he's really like, because he is truly a different character in each of these movies.
Yeah.
You know, if you hadn't seen him in anything else, if you watch Galaxy Quest, you think this is what this guy's like in real life. You know, but then when you see Moon, you think, oh, wow.
He's nothing like that.
He's nothing like that at all. Wow, it's amazing. Good, yeah. I like that.
All right. I guess that pretty much wraps us up for...
You know, I do have a couple
go ahead.
That I didn't mention, an honorable mentions of sorts. One is Rutger Hauer. He was more of a name in the 80s, I think, maybe early 90s. But even then, he was still a character actor. You know, of the things that I know him from in particular were a TV movie called Merlin. He always plays the bad guy. I've never seen him play a good guy in my life. He was the bad guy, the main bad guy in Blade Runner. He was the bad guy, some sort of religious character in Sin City.
Yeah.
You know, he has made the rounds. The guy is, you know, paid his dues in the business. But, you know, I didn't put him on the official list because, kind of like one of your other picks, I feel like he kind of plays the same guy. But what he's not doing is playing himself. And I like that, you know. And also, just an off-the-cuff mention, but he's a guy that is... He's in a lot of movies. Dan Hedaya. Think about it. Seriously. This guy has been in a ton of movies.
Yeah.
He's been in comedies, dramas.
He's in Clueless.
He's a guy's in a lot of things. And he's just... He's a... again, like kind of Rutger Hauer, he kind of plays the same guy.
Kind of.
And you can almost imagine this is probably what he's like.
He's kind of Dan Hedaya-ish.
Yeah.
In his roles. But
which is why I didn't put him on the official list. But, you know, yeah. Joe versus the Volcano. I mean...
I'm not arguing that with you.
He's not so much the guy you love to hate. But he's definitely got a quality that makes him, you know, let's say it makes him the lawyer. You know, he's always like a lawyer type. You know, he's a lawyer in Clueless. He's a lawyer in The Addams Family. He looks like a lawyer. He talks like a lawyer.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's just one of those guys that everyone knows his face but probably doesn't know his name.
Let's see. I had a couple of obvious ones. John C. Reilly.
Yeah, I debated
that. James Cromwell.
Yeah, I debated that too.
Eugene Levy. But he's kind of Eugene Levy
in
his parts. And another one I just thought off the top of my head that has been typecast because of a TV part he played, Ed O'Neill.
Mm.
I think he's a great character actor. I think he's a really underrated actor, but all people see is Al Bundy when they look at him. I know he was in a movie called what's it, Spanish Prisoner. I think.
Was he in it?
Yeah, and he was in Spartan. He was in a movie called Dutch back in the early 90s.
He even did it did not last, but he did a remake of the TV show Dragnet with the guy from Dutch, Ethan Embry. That was him.
No, that wasn't Ethan Embry.
Put money on it, dude.
No, that wasn't Ethan Embry.
You want to make a bet right now?
Yeah, that wasn't him.
Okay.
Was it?
I'll take a DVD from you if you
No, like. Wait.
Well, we'll settle this after this is over.
I don't think that was him.
That was him. It was Ethan Embry.
No, it wasn't.
Guy. Oh, yes, it was. But nevertheless, I didn't actually watch the show, but I saw, you know, like trailers and clips and all that. And, you know, I looked at him and I did not see Al Bundy, you know.
Of which one?
Ed O'Neill.
No, I mean, of which movie?
The Dragnet, the new Dragnet
thing. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, I think you're right. He's underappreciated, and he's not... They've only kind of given you hints in the other roles he's got of what he's capable of.
I don't know what
of.
It is about Ed O'Neill, but I like seeing him act. I'm drawn to this guy for some reason. He has a very everyman quality to him.
Yeah, I think it kind of comes down to
I
that.
Guess it's...
That's why he works so well as Al Bundy.
But, Ed O'Neill is my last honorable mention.
All right, very good. All right, well, that's going to wrap up this episode of
character
Notable
actors.
Character Actors.
All right, I'm Josh. See you later.
I'm Justin. Hear you later.